I don't think that's too much to ask.
I don't think you ought to be doing this to yourself, Andy. This is just shitty pipe dreams. I mean, Mexico is way the hell down there, and you're in here, and that's the way it is.
Yeah, right. That's the way it is. It's down there, and I'm in here. I guess it comes down to a simple choice, really. Get busy living, or get busy dying.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another week of Muskies on Tap. Welcome to episode number 107. We got this one coming out right before the Minnesota opener. I know we have a bunch of listeners from Minnesota who are getting prepared and getting ready for their opener, which I think I checked out the calendar. It's like the second latest it can ever be. So I'm sure everybody's completely amped and probably snuck over to Wisconsin, I'm sure, to get their fixings in the last 2 weeks. But without further ado, let's introduce the other Mott crew we have on here tonight. And our guest is basically one of the Mott crew as well. We've had him on many a time. So I'll start off first tonight with none other than my brother, Max. Max, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing well. I feel like I got to almost come on here with a state of the union, if you will, apologizing to our third co-host here, Brian Echol, for my behavior on our last episode. Guy's just getting reached out to. Apparently, he's like the most sympathetic figure of all time. You know, people siding with him, you know, telling
I got
Brian
a colony out there.
Not to listen to us anymore, not to take the shit following that we were giving him. Just incredible support there for our other co-hosts. But yeah, no, I'm happy to be here tonight. Always love having Alex on. Got a lot of things to chat with him about. Some fishing he's already done, what he's got on the docket here for Minnesota opener. But before we get to him, let's bring him on here. Third co-host, Mr. Brian Echol. Brian, how are we doing this evening?
I'm doing terrific. It's been blazing hot here the last couple days. Got a nice big storm this evening coming through. You know, full summer swing now, those humidity storms at night. It's a nice thing to see. But yeah, I appreciate everybody taking my back there this past week after I just got absolutely molested last podcast. For those of you that still have faith in me, catch one in the glide, I will say it's probably unlikely. Really started to hate those things, but I'm not going to give it up yet. I will throw them again, you know, a couple more times, maybe throughout the year. So stay tuned if that ever happens. But yeah, like Max said, a lot to talk about here with Mr. Alex McLean. Minnesota opener on the corner. Sounds like he's got a big day plan with a big squad of people out there. So without further ado, I don't know how many times you've been on the pod now, five, maybe somewhere around there, ballpark.
It's a good amount.
But Alex, how are you like that? Yeah. How's it going, fellas? Doing great tonight. It's the week of opener over here. So, just getting pumped and sharpening hooks daily and prepping baits and having a good time. Yeah. Can't wait. We've got a big group of guys, a lot of musky battle guys and friends, all in the same cabin this year out on Mille Lacs. So doing the Mille Lacs gig again and, feeling pretty good about everything conditions wise too. So can't wait.
Yeah. If you've probably been checking it out, what is the, what's the conditions over there in Minnesota on opening day?
So I'm personally expecting, a much better opener than we had last year. I mean, last year we had that March ice out throughout most of the state, which is unseasonably way early. And this year we had pretty average year, if not a little bit later. And despite the really hot weather, we've got pretty cool water temps. And from what people are seeing, talking about, fish are definitely up there for that shallow water bite. So really excited to get the baits moving. So
if you turn back the clock to last year, and you said it was an early ice out, I assume a lot warmer water last opener. How'd you do last year, and what were those fish doing in those conditions?
Last year was so probably in the last decade in terms of like, you know, that those Back Bay type bites and that super shallow bite. It was the hardest year we've had probably in the last decade. Very few fish caught, and you know, we're doing Mille Lacs because it's, you know, it's no secret. I mean, the fish are up in the shallows, they spawn in some of those bays and throughout the different areas throughout the lake that are, you know, tucked in the corners. But it was tough for everybody. You know, I talked to probably 30 people last year and nobody caught more than one or two fish the entire opening weekend. And no big fish either last year on opening weekend. A lot of those big females had already vacated out into the vast abyss where they are kind of untouchable throughout the season until that late season Cisco spawn. But this year I expect there to be more fish hanging around with these cooler water temps, despite the warm air temps we've had the last 2 weeks. Everything is still setting up good for opener. So and that's kind of statewide. Up here in my neck of the woods in Bemidji, I the fish are definitely going to be very shallow, just barely post spawn. Some fish probably still pairing up here and there as well, so that should be good too when I get back home.
What's the program on Mille Lacs with the, you know, whatever they are, they're staging spawning fish up super shallow, whether they're pre or post spawn. But I mean, is it super slow baits? Is it just, you know, your typical bucktails? Are they reacting to speed?
Yeah, I mean it's I'd say it's a pretty good variety bait wise. It's definitely, you know, what we've noticed is, you know, it's very moon oriented, very window oriented. You know, when you know, you're fishing around a whole lot of people out there on opener, and when one person gets it, you know, gets a fish in the bag, everybody knows right away. And then it's just a chain reaction due to the open window. Always works like that out there. Fish like speed. But at the same time, you know, we've done real good working really slow gliders. So I'm gonna be mixing and matching between torch and bucktails and slow glide baits mostly is typical program out there. But a lot of things work, you know. Guys have caught these opener fish are coming and going from these bays, you know, pairing up, leaving. You know, some sliding out to the weed edges, some up tight to shorelines, and some just making their way out. So I expect a lot of activity, but you know, you have to play little bumper boats as well.
Right. I mean, it makes sense trying to get a reaction bite out of a fish, or with the cleaner water, you might have to present something a little bit more natural, you know, rather than some places around opener have really dirty water, and you can get away with a, you know, a giant bucktail or something like that, honestly, just to get them to feel that. We've never been to Mille Lacs. I assume it's pretty gin clear this time of year.
Very, yeah. It's just, I mean, in terms of especially like, you know, back bay fishing and shallow water fishing, it's as clear as you can find anywhere in the U.S. It's gin clear. You know, sometimes when they're on those shallower rocks, and sandy areas, you can sight fish them. I mean, there's you can you know you see YouTube videos all over the place, guys just sight fishing them out there on opener too. So.
Is
Have
there a
you
lot of those, oops, sorry. Is there a lot
go
of
ahead.
those like fish that you see and try to sight fish that just are totally like non-reactive to your baits? Because
Com
whenever it feels
complete.
like,
I don't know how guys do it, honestly.
yeah.
Like I've tried sight fishing those fish out there, and it's tough. It's tough. Yeah, I've you mix of presentations, and but occasionally they just decide to lose their mind and go. And I mean, it's not an experience that I have too often out there, but. Yeah, I see some pretty cool videos every spring of those fish reacting, you know, up in the ultra shallows. So,
I remember when we were last November out on Tonka, we saw a pretty sizable fish in like 3 feet of water just slowly meandering, and like you could put a bait right in front of it. It wouldn't spook, it wouldn't have any interest in it, it would just keep going on its way. So I imagine a lot of
that's
those are
pretty
like that.
standard. Yeah, that's pretty standard. But those fish
Yeah.
can have a window of mindlessness too, though, at times, though, and just come unglued. So that's what we hope.
That makes sense. There's like a bit. Oh, one thing I was gonna ask, honestly, but I'm not sure. Like you said, sight fishing is probably not as easy as it sounds. I was gonna ask about like a jig or something like that. I'm sure you maybe have tried it, like a small to medium musky jig, but that seems
Tried
tough.
those. It's I don't know, it's just the fish, it's just the nature of those fish out there. Those stock fish, they're very boat shy and intelligent, and it's just super moon window oriented when they decide to just, okay, we're gonna go now, and that's all it is. Just wait patiently and keep putting in your casts, and eventually things will happen. So
So is this a midnight start then? Opening, I guess, morning you'd call it for a lot of people on Mille Lacs.
I think we're heading into the full moon, which I think is Tuesday or Wednesday this year. So a couple days before the full moon, myself and a bunch of other guys, we'll be out there at the midnight bell for sure.
Oof. Jeez. Is that a full day shift then, or how does that look for you guys fishing that opening day? I mean, what's the protocol?
It gets harder every year for me to just do those 16-hour pushers, but we'll see. I mean, a boat nap here and there, probably. Conditions look pretty stable, at least on opening day as of right now. Low 70 temps, comfortable, moderate wind. Everything's setting up pretty nice. Following day, looks like we're going to get some heavy wind and storms and stuff, but as of right now, everything looks pretty stable. That storm that you guys got last night or today, I think, or whenever it was, we got yesterday, which finally got us out of the 80s, and nice big cool down here, and things are kind of stabilizing throughout the rest of the week, and this coming week opener, it's setting up pretty nicely, so.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but when I went outside last night and even in this morning too, and I was on my way to work and I was like, man, it feels fishy out here right now, down in the cities at least. Like
Hazy
it
sky.
got me pretty excited for opener.
Same. Oh yeah, I was
Yeah.
feeling exactly the same. We got a whole lot of smoke up here from Canada, and
Yeah. Oh,
that
yeah.
like that blew out today and yesterday. I could just feel the pressure, the temp drop, and everything just
Yes.
felt so juicy. And I was like, man, just a because this is typically the weekend that we have opener. Or
Right.
last weekend. This is
Yeah.
like the 1 year every 7 years or whatever, where it gets pushed out to like the 7th or the 8th or whatever it is this year. I think it's the 7th, but so it's a little bit later than usual for opener, but I don't know. I feel good. I feel good statewide. I mean, I heard that you might be down there in the southern part of Minnesota chucking around, and I'd feel pretty good if I was you too on that. So.
Yeah, I think we're bitching out, as the kids would say.
Oh, that's a mistake.
Unfortunately, yeah, I know. It's I think I think we're doing it more so for the convenience factor. Unfortunately, I don't know. We'll see. We got a couple more days here till the opening bell, so you never know. Plans can always change. But yeah, my boat partner, Mr. Ryan Becker, coming up from Iowa, and me being in the cities, I think we might just do a convenience day on Saturday, unfortunately. But we'll see.
I hear you.
I got fortunate to do a lot of fishing for the Wisconsin opener. So as we've talked about, sometimes you just gotta choose your spots, if you will, when you're able to get out and do a bunch of fishing. So we'll see though. You never know. Speaking of not Mille Lacs fishing, you were able to get out for the Wisconsin Northern opener. We were talking a little bit about that before we started recording. And then also we obviously got to hang out down in Cave Run and do that whole deal. So before we dive into some more Minnesota stuff, I gotta pick your brain. What were your thoughts on Cave? What were your thoughts on Wisconsin? We didn't really get to fully hear your thoughts on those two things quite yet.
Cave Run, first time ever visiting there, and there's so much hearsay, so much talk about Cave Run, the challenges it presents, and It was a beautiful area. I loved it. The trip was smooth sailing from Minnesota. The 21-foot high reservoir fishing was definitely new to me. That is some fishing that I have never experienced before. Nothing even close to that, really. So we had to do some. We definitely had to do some brain picking and a whole lot of searching and a whole lot of learning. It was a big learning process for us, and I feel really good about it now. To where, if I was, we didn't catch any fish in the tournament, and that's all right. I mean, but we definitely learned everything I feel like we needed to, and if we were to go back, I'd feel a lot more confident. We feel like we figured it all out with 25 minutes left in the tournament. We got on pods of fish. We had chances. There was just so much going on around us. We watched a guy catch one right next to us, and we really got on the fish there with 30 minutes to go in the tournament, but just couldn't make it happen. And we knew what they were doing. I think, you guys kind of slid in right after we made the mistake of leaving one spot, and made things happen
There's room for
there.
more.
Yeah, there's
We
room.
were only
Yeah, I
jigging, so you could have
see
jigged right next to
it's
us.
it yeah it's that level of uncomfortability, I guess, in terms of boats and people is not in my bloodstream. I like to just I don't want to be within 1,000 yards of another boat all the time. That's everywhere I go, and so I have to adapt to that, for those styles of tournaments when we know where the fish are, but and just realize that the window will open, but we didn't stick around, and it didn't pay off for us at the end. But anyways, I actually have learned to really respect that lake, and I would love to go back. I would have no problem going back and giving it a second go, because I learned more. I learned a lot, and I had a fun time. And then, yeah, looking, and then yeah, in terms of Wisconsin, got out for a quick day shift, or full day shift, I guess. It was about a 13-hour outing just across the border for Minnesota here, and it felt really good to warm up the sticks. We really gave it. Buddy ended up losing a nice fish right at the boat side, right at the end of moon. After we were fishing a really recreational lake, so day was kind of a struggle. A lot of party boats out there and bobbing and weaving, but then I ended up ending the night with a real quality, healthy, big mid-40s greenie. So that kind of topped everything off. Had to, shook off the rust for me, and looking forward to getting going here in Minnesota now.
What was your I know you caught that one late at night. I think you said around 11 p.m. What was your game plan there? Were you throwing blades at all, rubber? What were they
Well,
reacting to?
we had found the pods of fish during the day, and I got a couple to come out, and just real lazy. Smart. The water was very clear, and it's a dirty lake that we were fishing, but for whatever reason, early season hadn't really bloomed yet. So we had very clear water, which I like, especially for fishing after dark. But we had found a couple pods of, two spots that had about six fish on them, and so our plan was just to wait till things taper down with all the both party boats leaving, jet skis, everything like that, and which is kind of lined up with moon there at the end of the night. And so we just hit those spots nice and slow, working real slow baits, and we were actually using my buddy's paddle tails, because I was out fishing with him, and he makes those Trophy Systems paddle tail baits, and just working them real slow right over the weed tops. And yeah, he hooked up, and we dumped his fish just a couple feet from the net. A little bit of a heartbreaker to start the night, but then, three to five casts after that, mine just got engulfed out on the cast, and so it kind of made and ended our night. We were pretty exhausted. My trolling motor batteries actually ended up dying, because I hadn't charged them for a long time. But And that ended our night right after. But yeah, it was just work. You know, if we would have stayed out there, I feel like we could have got a couple more maybe to come out and play because these things started happening there. But
Can you remind me at least? I don't remember exactly how you set up your boat for night fishing. Do you use any sort of lighting, or do you have just like a ticker in the line? How do you have like,
indication of figure eight.
indication for like a good figure eight?
Just feel, just so, just
Just
adapt
natural.
and feel.
Doing it a
Yeah,
lot.
doing it a lot.
Practice.
Yeah, the water's clear. I
Athlete.
mean, yeah, a lot of guys will put those rubber glow beads on the top of the leader in Minnesota, which are nice. They do work too, you know, in terms of indicator coming in into the figure eight. I just kind of adapt, and yeah, I smash the tips every now and then. Just it is what it is, but there's some people
Oh
that will say that that actually triggers a fish coming in.
yeah. It's that
I've heard
extra
it. I've
bump.
heard it. Yeah, I've heard it. I mean, I've heard it, but yeah, I mean, we occasionally will use a soft red headlamp. In terms of lighting, that's all I'm really comfortable with. You know, that's a in terms of fishing with headlamps, I would say that clear water fish are definitely response like negatively. They negatively respond to LED lights, I think. At least that's kind of what it feels like after trying everything, you know, throughout the years. But a soft light, red light, I've caught a lot of fish in the eight on a soft red light. So I'm that's what we use real late into the night sometimes casting.
Is it super dim in the water? Like you can still barely see it come into the eight?
Yeah, it's dim. I keep everything as dim as possible. I mean, when you got that super clear water, those fish are very, very, you know, boat shy and any lighting, and they just don't like it. I mean, there's guys that, but on the other side of the script here, there are guys that run like huge light strips on the outside of their boat and just constantly have a flow of light. And it's pretty cool. I mean, I've seen fish, you know, come into those and eat in those. So everyone has a different opinion on it, I feel. You know, but I don't know. I like things to be as dim as possible. You know, quiet, stealth. Noise is definitely a big deal after dark on clear lakes too. Just got to be quiet and stealthy. You know, working the trolling motor, I'll just shut it off all the time. I mean, that's just my opinion, but
Hey, Gus, I see you're laughing over there, and we
for
gotta
good
proceed with
reason.
caution here because our counterpart's very sensitive these days. But
Yeah, we do need to
what's
kind of
got you
hold off
chuckling?
on
What's
him.
got you chuckling over there, Gus? When Alex talked about being quiet?
If I think I
No.
know what it is, it wasn't dark yet.
I mean, all right, so here we go. We got our opener. We've already discussed this a little bit. We even talked the week before, like, hey, we're gonna do some night fishing on probably opening night, because like Alex said, there's that great moon phase. It was like 9:30 to 11:30 or something like that. And so yeah, we go into the night. We had the battery issues, all our graphs were completely off, everything was pitch black. And I got Brian, old big stepper, Stompy, McStomp, light on constantly, switching baits per usual, staring me in the face, me yelling at him going, what? I'm like, shut that damn thing off. I'm
Shoving the
blind.
wrecking
I
rag.
can't. Okay, I'll eat those. I thought you were gonna talk shit about the globe again.
No, you didn't. No, that was before
I'm
night.
about to
We're over that.
ask that guy to come on the pod if you keep talking shit about
He's not coming on our podcast. He fucking hates
it.
this show.
Damn,
Right. We'll catch fish on that globe some point. Just not on opening weekend when it's really cold and dropping to
No, it's just
35 that night.
you're noisy ass, and you're the one who's always like, "We got a night fish, guys. We got a night fish."
Then you
Okay,
get
well,
out there and you are just,
you gotta learn,
oh,
right?
my back.
Now
You
I
gotta
know.
learn my back.
Yeah, here we go. Get it out, get it out.
My back, guys.
I'm gonna night
Gotta
fish
head in.
solo this year.
To be fair, you did wave the white flag and say like, all right, let's just go
Well, because
in.
every damn fish on the lake knew exactly where we were at, because you're slamming bait boxes and you're breaking down your rod on the bottom of the boat. And here Alex is
Was
talking
the
about
best
being stealthy.
indicator.
Being stealthy, being quiet.
We weren't
All
gonna go in yet until Brian took his rod, took the bait off, shut the wrecking rack really loudly, and then was just stomping his telescopic rod in the bottom of the boat. I'm
Okay.
like, oh, so we're going in now? No, we're not yet, not yet. It's like, all right, we're not gonna catch shit now. So yeah, that was why I was giggling. But Alex, I have a question for you. So with the stern light and the nav lights, what do you do for that? Obviously, you got to stay legal. My new boat kind of has some pretty damn bright ones.
That shine directly into the water.
Yeah, and they're definitely LED. They're built into the sides of the boat, so they're just like down in the water pretty
Yeah,
heavily.
gotta stay legal, but there's a lot of answers to this too. Like you can
Yeah.
find some like translucent tape, something that just allows light to still come out, which is kind of what I have on there. But it still, dims it a
Okay.
little bit. And then so there's some guys that will put socks, super thin socks over them, but I think that's a little bit too far, because I don't know what the rate, I honestly don't know exactly what the light amount of a regulation is, how much light you have to have
Yeah.
coming out. But there's definitely like a lot that goes on in night fishing out here with like trying to contain the lights. Guys will move their lights. A lot of guys have their lights like on top of their motors now, and it tort more in the center of their boat instead of off the. I mean, mine's on my starboard side
Starboard.
too. So
Yeah,
I
same
always
here.
fish. I always fish port side, so it doesn't really
Yep.
affect anything. And I'll tilt it sometimes, so it just kind of like blinds the water back there instead of my whole boat.
That's what I've done on the stern one on the starboard side. I've actually just done, which I don't know if you can exactly do that. Just put a tiny bit of electrical tape, like only on the side that would shine directly at me in the back, but it's still
I've done that
shining
too.
full brightness around the whole thing. Obviously, block out every single little thing from your trolling motor pedal and whatnot, because that'll just blind you. No, I was just
Really?
genuinely curious on that because I know that there's, a limit you can do for lighting,
Yeah, I do
for
that. I've
sure.
done that too. I use a little bit of hockey tape, that like kind of stretchy hockey tape that you can still kind of see through
Oh, yeah.
on my side, so it doesn't blind my side. And the same thing for my trolling motor. That's what I'll put on my trolling motor, because then I can still see the lights a little bit, but not enough to cause a problem.
Would you have Brian want to chime in there?
No, it's really just your green light up front that's like a damn stage light. I mean, you can see 3 feet
It
down with
is.
that puppy. It's nice, but yeah, I don't know if it helps.
I know. I think I got to work on that. I mean, obviously, I want to stay legal out there, especially if I'm on a busier lake. Because coming up here in the summer, I mean, there's some lakes that just never sleep, depending where I'm at. But yeah, that sounds good. Those are good tips. I mean, I'll night fish more, probably will more solo. Sorry, Brian.
No.
You just gotta get a little more used to it, but no, that sounds good. But yeah, later here in the month, we do have, I know we just talked about Cave Run PMTT, but Alex and his fishing partner Ryan Becker will be staying with us, and we're pretty pumped for that. I know Ryan has fished the chain, but it'll be your first time, Alex, and you've only been to this area one other time in last year's battle, so this will definitely be interesting. I don't know
On
if you have
the
any
chain,
thoughts on
it's
it.
ch yeah. On the, I mean, I'm really excited. I'm really excited. I know. I mean, just on the basis that in terms of tournament fishing, that it is going to be better than Cave Run went.
It
So,
should. If it's not, that's a really big problem.
yeah. No.
Be very
Probably watch where I
surprised.
guide then, because
No, it's going to be a good time. I mean, the thing that gets me going the most with tournament fishing isn't, necessarily the tournaments itself. It's the camaraderie around it and getting the guys together, BSing and learning new things, and and that side of fishing. But I'm excited. I always love fishing new water. I love learning things like that. I love breaking it down, and just that's a big part of what musky fishing is, and just putting pieces together to try to make something happen. So I know my tournament partner's got an okay amount of experience out there, so he'll be able to lead us the way. We're a little bit here, and I'm really excited. New water and new opportunity. So
Sweet. Well, we're excited to have you down here, or over here, I should say. I don't know why I keep saying that, but yeah, we'll go check out whatever. I mean, we might even do a little bit of night fishing or something, off the chain, and just do a little fun fishing because you guys are take well, you're able to do a little work, but I mean, you guys are traveling and taking off of work, so you want to have some fun fishing out of it rather than just the tournament fishing. But I know I love that part about tournaments, the challenge and learning new stuff. I mean, even Max and I going into home water, I'm sure we got to go into it with like a 50-50 on open mind and prior knowledge, basically based on temps and what the lakes are looking like. So I'm pumped.
Yep, I think it's going to be a pretty busy leg too. I don't know if they've completely filled the field, but I think it's up
It
there pretty
might.
good. Yeah.
Last time I was here in June, it was overfull, potentially. They for sure got 125 boats, so I bet you they get that. There's going to be a ton of local people that are not on the full trail that will do this tournament. There always is. I mean, there's a lot of sticks from this area that used to do the PMTT. A lot, so I bet you, or they typically do like local tournaments like the Spring Classic or Paul's Pro Am or another tournament that's on Three Lakes chain. So yeah, it could be a shootout and it might be tough for, I don't know, for some people, but it also could be lights out. I'm not quite sure, to be honest. See how this year's shaping up. So far the weeds on the chain are they're looking pretty much right on par for what they should be this time of year. The water's still clean. Could dirty up by then. I've seen it where it stays clean until about 4th of July, so that could reshape things, but it also could go to like 2 foot visibility in a matter of a few days if the boat traffic is right or the water's flow is low, or it all depends. I think that 1 year it stayed clear for a while. We had a lot of rain. Which sounds surprising, but it actually flushed out the chain a ton because the water was moving through it constantly. And then the 1 year it got dirty really early is when we had like no rain and the lakes were stagnant and everything like just turned to mud brown for a while. So we'll see how it goes now, but I'm thinking both chains will be in good condition. So
Take a gnarly bug hatch.
there should be. I was gonna bring that up into a to a current event that's going on actually. Saw the first mayfly hatch last night,
Oh,
so
wow.
and a couple of the big ones hatching, so keep that in mind. We'll see what this big rain does to it. I'll be back out every day following just to see what's going on, but everyone keep that in mind. That could go on for a week or two, that could go on for a month. I'm not really sure. It has not happened on the chain yet, though. I saw it not on the chain. So, and from who I talked to who fished the chain on opening Muskie League, I don't think it's happened quite yet. Last year, it never happened at all. So, we will see. That'll definitely change the dynamics.
should we break her up a little and hit some of these on the lines we got sent in?
We do. Yeah, we have a couple to get through, and honestly, thanks for bringing that up, Ryan. Let's hit up the first one right now, which has everything to do with you.
Oh,
we got
who could
this one
this be?
from our very own Phil Stadola. So,
He sent
I'm just
in
gonna
tw 10 minutes apart.
He sent in two, yeah, but this next one is short. I'm gonna play him one after the other, so don't fully answer this first one because the second one ties into. I think he meant to send it all as one. So, Let's let her rip.
What's up, boys? This is Phil from Green Bay calling in on the Mott line. I just wanted to check in on our boy Brian Echols. Man, that guy was not catching strays last week. He was just getting the clip emptied on him. I want to tell you, Brian, these guys giggled a little bit when you talked about coming to Green Bay for the opener. There's a spot open in the boat. You can come down here. You can chase big fish. And I'm not going to tell you that you suck at running a glide bait. And in fact, you don't even have to run a glide bait. I mean, brutal. Just brutal. You guys were really giving it to him, Brian. I feel you. I get the same treatment. I was giggling. I was thinking it when Clayton said it, that Brian and I might be the exact same guy. I talked on the Musky Unks podcast this week about living in parallel universes. I think that's kind of the deal with Brian and I, just living in parallel universes. But like I said, this is a safe place. You can come down here, throw a glide bait if you want. I usually throw a glide bait for about as long as I can hold my breath, and then I take it off. So that's a good rule for the boat if you're interested. But anyway, just shout out Brian. You know, shout out Musky Hunk. Shout out Nate from Pigsburg. Yeah. Have a good week, boys.
Oh, good. Man. There you go, I Brian. Like you got rule. Somebody on your side.
I knew he would be. I mean, he got a glide bait named after him because he hates him so much. So I knew that was my guy.
Yeah. So actually, with that being said, with the naming of the glide bait, let's play his next one that fully ties into that.
One more thing, Nick Amoros, if you're out there listening, and I know you are, you dirty little dog. I think they brought it up last week. I think I've heard some rumblings of a second glide bait coming out. I think instead of being the Phil 2.0, that's got to be called the Brian. Just saying, it would be an honor to share a glide bait with another glide bait hater brother like myself. So, Nick, shout out, Hammer Customs, hammer, hammer, hammer.
How do you feel about that, Brian?
I mean, the ball's in your court, Nick. I would be honored to have a glide bait named after me that I never catch a fish on. That'd be quite the privilege.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's what Phil's got. He's got the glide bait named right after him with two L's. Not really sure why Nick added the extra L. He'll probably just end up spelling your name wrong and use a Y instead of an I.
Yeah.
And call it the Brian.
Brian with a Y.
Brian with a Y.
You know, yeah, maybe next opener or maybe in the weeks surrounding it, I'll have to hit up Green Bay. I mean, if it's anything like this year.
Oh, yeah.
Like we'd
you
all
live
foolish.
15 minutes away.
What am I going to do? Put on the waiters?
I mean, you just got
hit
an open
Phil.
Invite.
I just got an invite, but I just found out about it, and now the bite's probably over.
You're talking, well, you don't think people catch muskies on Green Bay?
Not until August. You know the season's there, brother?
I think you could
Dead
find a
for
way.
A while now.
You could find a way to hop out there this weekend, honestly. If you put your mind to it and ask one of them, I bet you somebody's going out. Or at least, like, I mean, dude, those guys go, like, walleye fishing, salmon trolling. I mean,
That would be funny. The one time I don't take my rod home with me and I leave it with you is when I go
yeah,
out fishing.
Right? just ask them to troll. Do your favorite thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Gliding and trolling.
There you go. Yeah. No, I don't know if the bite will fully be still going, to be honest. I myself actually snuck down there this last weekend with a good buddy Clayton, who we just had on the other week. And it was pretty darn good. I mean, we fished the Fox and water temps were still in like the, you know, mid 60s by the time we left. And there was still a lot of fish in there, a lot of fish being caught by our friends. And we were able to, we fished really hard. I mean, don't get me wrong. It wasn't like a gimme. It's not like we just showed up and fish just like went in the net from just fishing or whatever very easily, but we were able to land three. Pretty cool thing about actually all three catches. The first one on Friday night, I got a nice low 40s. That was my first ever Great Lakes spotted fish. That took me about 8 or 9 times going to Green Bay. So they really just do not give them up easy at all. All of my times were August and one time trolling in early fall. But so that was pretty sweet. Our second catch was Jamie.
Did you do the 8-9 stagger program or 7-8 stagger?
Oh, I forgot to mention. That one I caught on a Big O's Spinnerbait.
Oh, shout out.
So
Shout out.
that was actually pretty cool. I'll probably post that video. Jamie saw it porpoise. It was pretty much like we sight fished in, 1 foot visibility of water. Jamie saw it porpoise. I chuck a cast at it because I was in and he was way out in the cast. And I roll in. And I could barely see it on the first turn. It was just flying in, and I got it on like the third turn, I think. And I added like a little trailer hook, and it was barely just in the upper lip on the one single trailer hook when we netted
Oof.
it. And I looked back at the footage, and the fish actually inhaled the entire spinnerbait, but I think when I set the hook, it still had its mouth open. So I just pulled it
Oh.
out, and the last hook hit it because I'm like, dang, that thing nipped it. And I looked back at the footage, it had the thing engulfed. It's insane what you can see in the video rather than musky blackout on what you think you saw, which is incredible. I mean, it's totally different. There's a whole thing on Clayton's big fish of the weekend too,
We were
but the
just
next
talking about
one,
that. Not to cut you off again, but just talking about mixing
was
it up
fine.
from the 7/8 stagger that feels like 90% of the people use out there. When we, I think we brought up big O's or just
Yeah.
spinnerbaits in general, Clayton.
Well, dude, I mean, I got down. That was literally the first spot. I cut that fish. I think we got there. There was thunderstorms rolling. We had to wait in the truck for about an hour and a half. Got out there, first spot, fished for like maybe 15 minutes. Got the one. Totally the bite shut off. When the real like kind of front set in after that storm, it shut off. But yeah, that's all I could think is like, all right, we're all throwing bucktails. It's like, Clayton had like a Huntsie on and Jamie had some other, like a single eight or something like that on. It's like, all right, I gotta really switch it up. If they're gonna eat blades, they're gonna eat a spinnerbait. They're fishing a lot of shallow water anyways. But Jamie's the next morning actually was on a spinnerbait too. It's on a drop tine growler, which is a solid bait. But the cool part about his catch, that was a nice like I think it was a 46 1/4. But Jamie actually just got trained to pit tag fish. So we scanned that fish. It didn't have a tag in it, and we actually pit tagged it. So we got that all on film, took a bunch of pictures on it. So that was kind of cool experience to be a part of that first ever, fish I've ever seen tagged, which was pretty sick. So, and then rolling through the day, nothing. Went to lunch, and then Clayton got one on the potential Brian glide bait by Hammer Customs. It was on the Phil 2.0. He got a 50 1/4, and Clayton's been to Cave Run. He fished all Green Bay opener, and their boat cleaned up a bunch, but he didn't personally get a fish. And then he goes this whole, first day of Green Bay and most of Saturday, and his first fish of the year is a 50 1/4. So, that's pretty. That's pretty sweet that he got
Nice.
that thing. But yeah, that one he thought there's a couple things that he thought happened, but it turns out the fish just like crushed it closer to the boat than we all thought. He set the hook like earlier than he thought. He was thinking like he thought he was snagged or something, but like the fish came up and just annihilated it. But that was pretty cool. And we did tag that one, or we didn't have to tag it. We scanned it and had a pit tag in it, and we got the information back. So in May or early June, I know that was the last day of May it was caught. It was 50 1/4 inches, and it was tagged from being fike netted like early May of 2023 at 49.3 inches. So it grew just about an inch in 2 years, and it's a male.
Jeez.
50-inch
Damn, it's a
male. Giant male,
wow,
50-inch
that is
male.
huge.
So
That is
there's
cool.
giant fish in Green Bay. I did not think males got that big,
Wonder how
even.
old that thing is.
I don't think I saw
For an
that
inch in 2 years.
information. And the other cool information about it is that it was fike netted early May, and this was caught in like a late May scenario. It was caught 100 yards from where it was fike netted. So within
Jeez.
100 yards, which is pretty cool. So that fish just went, it keeps going back to the same spot probably, and then hangs out, eats, and then pieces out when the fox gets too hot. So I thought that was pretty cool information that we got out of it. Definitely hoped, and I hope to be doing more of that too. I got myself a pit tag reader. A bunch of us do now through our Muskie's Inc. chapter. So we're hoping to get a lot more information on our local fish that a lot of us have just figured out that they've been pit tagging for a long time, but I don't know where they're getting information from if they're getting nobody to scan them. So they're finally working with the people who actually guide
Down there
and
somewhere.
catch fish. So we're working on it. I know Taylor Flannery is starting to tag some fish. I think he's mainly working with Oneida County on that in particular. But either way, we're working towards getting all that types of information. I know Titletown Muskies Inc. is kind of really on top of their game for that. So huge shout out there for, Phil's part of that. Of course, Kyle Huntsader as well, Mr. Huntsy Tails. But yeah, that's kind of what I got on that. I was gonna actually share a parallel earlier with you, Alex, when you're talking about Mille Lacs, and Clayton brought it up too. When you were saying bite windows, Green Bay doesn't, he like he said, they don't, those fish don't read Muskie Hunter, they don't read the moon phases. But what you do is if you have a bunch of buddies fishing out there, you just keep your phone on ring, and every time somebody catches a fish, a bite window's open, and somebody else will catch a fish, whether it's like a mile downriver or not. Like when those fish eat down there, they just all eat. So I'm sure that's the same deal in Mille Lacs or really anywhere early in the season when the water's cold.
Mille Lacs, the experience of it is kind of unique. I mean, we don't all know each other, but everyone kind of see, it's the same boats every year, same pilot guys, and everyone's on the program where if you get one, you gotta hoot and you holler, and just everyone knows right away. It's fun. I mean, if everyone, you get a fish in the bag and you yell, and then all of a sudden, like, you hear boats yelling all over the place within 10 minutes of each other. And yeah, it's the same sort of program. Yeah.
Is
It's getting me excited right now.
it similar to the Fox in terms of like you have your main stretches on Mille Lacs where like boats will kind of clump up and not necessarily as bumper boaty, but you'll have a lot of people in one area?
Yeah, it's, I mean, so there are a lot. I mean, the thing that people don't, they it gets a lot of the spots on Mille Lacs do get overlooked. Like, there are spots throughout the entire lake, north to south. I mean, your majority of people are fishing the bays, on the south and the southeast sides. The couple of the west bays too. But there's a lot of rocky points and little inlets and cuts that just get overlooked, that hold plenty of fish throughout the lake. But in terms of like your community spots, yeah, it's basically get in line and wait for windows to open, down the lines. So
Yeah, I mean that makes sense. I mean that's like, so that was my first ever experience on the Fox River. I've actually never been there, but from what we casted, we did troll a little bit, but like when you cast, you pretty much put your boat in, like, we don't have to put your boat in this depth, but you pretty much try and put your bait landing in about a foot of water, 1 to 3 feet, and then bring it out to whatever your boat's in, whether it's also in three or if you're in. Some spots our boat was in like 25, casting up onto a shelf. They know the river in and out. All the like, I was literally just a passenger along for the ride. Lucky enough to fish out of the front, get a fish. It was pretty awesome. But fishing that is completely different. But there's trollers out there that do just as well, if not better, numbers wise. Possibly not the bigger fish always, and they fish more of like the flats and. Honestly, in the river, they'll go over like 25, 35 feet of water and keep the baits high up and catch fish. So I'd assume you get similar things happening to Mille Lacs, but you're obviously dealing with way bigger area and way less fish. And you also can't run three lines per person out there. So you pretty
Correct,
much have
correct.
one game plan. I'm sure it's just shallow or very close to the spawning bays. And if you can't find them there, then it's really a needle in a haystack.
Yep, I mean, jumping out into the open water out there and running baits is, that's it's the biggest needle in a haystack. So, I mean, it didn't used to be like that a long time ago, and you bring up the pit tagging and scanning that you guys are now doing over there. That's really intriguing, really cool. And I love following along to the Title Town page too on social media. They really do have things going well over there, running that. It's pretty cool to see. But we're starting to get a lot more science done over here as well with pit tagging and trying to I'm actually trying to get a hold of one of those scanners myself for these Minnesota fish. This year for Leech Lake, which is like the core of our Leech Lake stocking program. They're doing a new study now where they want everybody to clip the anal fins, and they have Dropbox locations for them, and along with a form for every catch, at all like the Leech Lake resorts and the public accesses. And I don't know exactly where they all are, but there's a bunch of drop boxes throughout the lake, and forms you can pick up at those drop boxes, along with materials to actually snip the fins that they're going to start doing studies on. And you provide them with the information on whether it was caught in the open water or on structure and weeds and et cetera, et cetera. 'Cause there's been a lot of talk, with the pressure out there and what it's doing to the fisheries and the live scoping and all that stuff. But so a lot more science going into these fish around here as well this year. So kind of following along with that and seeing what becomes. But
Seems
that's
like a lot of
pretty
good stuff
awesome.
coming out of Minnesota lately.
Yeah, there we have a new long range muskie plan that was just it's been many years into the making. A lot of work done by researchers like the Camden Glade and a bunch of other guys that they've really done a lot to work with the Minnesota DNR and legislature finally to get things going for a long range plan. And the core of their plan is to basically bring back like the big lakes of Minnesota, Mille Lacs, Vermilion, and Minnetonka for starters. And I think that they've got, I think it's a heck of a plan. And I think that it might take 10, 15, 20 years to get it back to how it should be. But I think that those lakes are gonna be flourishing again if this plan works as it is currently designed.
Well,
That's sweet.
it's
Exciting
like a way
stuff.
to, I feel like you were probably the one to bring it up, or it was definitely somebody from Minnesota that we had on about talking on displacing the pressure, where when these big fisheries like Vermilion and Mille Lacs and whatnot have gone downhill, the amount of people that don't go there now and then go to the smaller lakes in Minnesota and just blast them apart, getting pressure on lakes that you probably have never seen, because I know yourself is also, semi young like us, but you've been fishing forever, so you've seen, different days of certain lakes. So that's
I
exciting
mean the pressure, I
put
mean
it back
it's
there.
the yeah pressure Minnesota lakes, especially in the smaller lake, they are receiving just unimaginable pressure nowadays. And I hope for the best for the fish, and I hope that all this research that's coming out this year and the plan, I think that it like you said, hopefully a lot of the fish get dispersed, a couple new waters on the program as well. And if they can just recover the big lakes, then it just work it naturally will work itself out with all the surrounding smaller lakes. And I think that they can do that. I think Mille Lacs, I mean honestly, Mille Lacs has I mean it has such potential. The way it used to be in the glory days, the 90s, early 2000s, is just it was unbelievable. I mean, five, six, seven fish days, very, very common, along with just enormous fish, And I think that if they can bring that back, that lake can hold a lot of pressure. So can Vermilion, so can Minnetonka. So you get the you even Leech and Leech too. You recover the big lakes, and that will work itself out throughout the whole state, I think.
Yeah, it feels too like, I mean, for the size of what Mille Lacs is, it just get it back to fishable, it feels like, like where people can take a day trip and go there and feel like they actually have a chance to go,
Exactly.
catch a fish or
Exactly.
two.
You think of like fishing July and on Mille Lacs, and it's like, or August, and it's like, oh, there's, I mean, there's chances and possibilities out there, but it's not like, yeah, there used to be just mass tourism there for it, you know?
Right.
And yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. A lot of education going around too, you know, with how to fish for them ethically and how to handle fish, most importantly. And that's good too. It's good to see all that going around. So we'll see. See what happens this year and what becomes, but
Yeah, for what seemed like a lot of doom and gloom on the overall state of Minnesota fisheries, feels like that's kind of changed the tune of things a little bit. So we'll see how it goes. But I don't know. Good to see some actionable items being taken place here, which is nice, I would say.
yeah, love to see it. Should we roll another on the line? We got one
Sure. A
fired
Alex,
up
can you
here.
not hear the on the lines?
No, I didn't hear it. I don't know if it's just like a certain audio that you guys have wired in, or
Really?
my external audio, everything's good. I hear all you guys. You have
You
like
guys heard it right
Gus's
though,
screen
right? Brian
muted.
Max?
I heard it, yeah. I don't
Alex,
have
click on
any.
the top. It says mute Gus's computer sound. I don't know if that's your problem. Do you see his screen?
I see this screen right. I'm looking at the screen he's sharing right now.
Yeah, his email, and then at the top it says Gus Mankey's screen. Click on the
Yep.
three dots.
Okay.
Mute Gus's computer sound. Do you have that on or anything?
Nope.
Hmm.
So that's a that's a
That's
that's a, I'll mute it now and then it and then now I will uncheck it. Yeah, it's very strange. I didn't hear anything. So I don't know. It's
dang.
okay.
It was about Brian. So, you're all
I
right.
had an
We'll
idea
fill
as
it.
to what was going on there, but
Yeah,
that's fine.
you can just
I'll
listen
listen to it
back.
later. Yeah.
It should go. I mean, I'll double check and go back into the recording, but I got it now so that Zoom can just fully put out the sound so I don't have to edit in later, which is what we kind of used to do when we first started on the line. But let's throw a quick one from our buddy Nate Budd from Pigsburg. Shout out the Musky Hunks
Weekly
and
caller.
our favorite weekly caller.
Hi, this is Nate Budd from Pittsburgh. Hey, this is a question for Max. I was just curious. I know you've been posting fish pictures. I think I heard you've caught one, but I don't believe it's true. I don't know if that's stolen valor or something, because I believe you were supposed to FaceTime me when you caught your first muskie of the year, and I didn't get no FaceTime call. I'll hang up and listen to your response. Thanks. Love the show.
Love the show.
Actually glad you addressed that, Nate. Yeah, like I mentioned, it actually is my Norwegian twin brother Axe that's actually taken my place in the fishing boat to start the year here. So when I get a fish, you will be the first one that I FaceTime. Just trust. All
Axel?
right. No, his name is Axe from Norway.
Oh, okay. Axe and
Yeah.
Max.
Yeah, he looks very similar to me.
A little
You
bit
know, could argue he's even a better stick than I am. Yeah, he's a
yeah.
little bigger than me, actually. He looks a little fatter in some of those pictures.
yeah. That's just
Way
accident.
more thin than Axe, but yeah, that's just Axe. He just, it's that Norwegian diet, you know, a lot of
Yeah.
carbs over there. So
Oh,
appreciate you checking in, though, Nate.
appreciate you. Alex, could you hear that one or?
Yep, I heard that all good, so
Sweet. All right, well then this one's going to be
he was
directed at
catching some fish.
yeah. This one will be directed at all of us and I'm curious to see what you guys got to say. Brian, Max, unless you didn't listen to it yet. I know Max and I've
No,
already
I
listened
kept it
to it.
secret.
I have
All
not
right.
listened to it.
Oh, you did not? All right. I'm the
No.
only one, so let's let it rip.
Good evening, gentlemen. This is Kyle Freges with Beyond the Eight. First time caller, long time listener to the podcast. 6 foot, 190 pounds. And for those keeping track,
Ding.
yes, that is down 10 pounds from the Wausau Muskie Expo.
Shut up.
Before we get into my question here, I have a preliminary question for you guys. I'd like to request a moniker. I'd like my moniker to be the walleyes are eating all the muskies guy. I'll repeat that. The walleyes are eating all the muskies guy. So if you could do that for me, that would be appreciated. I don't believe that one is taken yet. Well, let's jump into my question here. So this might be controversial to some, and it's a topic that I honestly think has been too controversial to skirt the Facebook pages and the forums and all of the various hot button topics that are so rigorously beat to death on those social media platforms. But we've all been there. You've captured a beautiful, dark, musky, generally out of the northern stained waters of Wisconsin, or you've captured a bright, almost pale looking, vibrant toned musky. Some refer to them as blondes. So I just got to know, boys, and this is controversial again, what do you prefer, brunettes or blondes? I'll hang up and listen.
Hey, you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, because
you're after him every weekend.
Brian, you ever bagged a blondie?
Yeah, as I say, I haven't caught any blondes. But I'm a simple guy. I'm in favor of both as long as they're thick type. That's my
you're
only.
Just a stained water trick. Fisherman through and through. I mean, you like to get down and dirty in the muddy waters.
Pause.
Right now for the big girl.
Pause. Pause. Badass white fish. That's what I'm all here for.
Pav. Are you kidding me? Some will get that reference, maybe, maybe not.
Huh. How about you, man. Gentlemen over there, all quiet about blondes and brunettes? Let's hear it.
What even was your answer again?
Just as long as they're thick.
Oh, okay.
That's
right.
That's crazy.
That might be the most least controversial answer. I think we all agree with that.
Gus is getting all shy over there, not saying much, stuttering.
No, man. I mean, like Brian said, we like them thick for sure. I don't know, man. I mean, we grew up always kind of going after them brunettes, but you know, lately been on that blonde kick, trying to get that, you know, clear water blondie, the one that roams the depths, the harder to get ones, you know. Yeah. What we can't have is kind of what we want, you know. Like it's if they're harder to get, that's what we want. So that's my answer.
Yeah, sometimes it's more fun to chase them than to actually catch them.
That's facts.
You know.
Yeah.
Brad knows. Well said,
chasing tail over there. Yeah. Chasing tail. Max, your
answer, Max.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I don't know those brunettes over there, they're fighters. They're fun to go, but yeah, as my wife sits in the room right next to me here, she's a beautiful brunette, but I gotta say, you know, those blondes are a rush out there when they get real blonde.
You got some explaining to do, brother. If she's listening.
good question. Walleyes are eating all the musky guy.
Thanks guy.
Shout out Beyond the Eight.
Yeah, shout out Kyle. He'll be joining us on Mille Lacs at the cabin this year, so nice. Should be a great time. And I'm hoping he gets a big one.
Yeah. Oh, big, yeah. Blondie.
Big, yeah, blonde.
Big blondie. Big answer.
Oh yeah,
big blonde for sure.
Big blonde, let's go.
All right.
Yeah,
probably a good answer. Probably a good answer for you.
You want what you can't have. Yeah. Hey, whoa.
Whoa, guys, jeepers.
Relax over there, guy. Yeah, I'm starting to get some FOMO, Alex. That maybe we might be making the wrong decision here. I don't know.
Are you going to give it at midnight, Max, when you go out, or what was your plan?
No.
Oh, come on.
No.
What do you mean by that?
No, I ran a lot
The
of
9 to 5.
my hours 2 weekends ago, and we got some big weekends coming up. So,
Max, are you going Tonka or Secret Spot?
we're just going to a lake
Secret
south of the
sauce.
city, I think. But I'm
Gotcha.
not entirely sure on that. Could be west, south, east. I'm not
Yeah.
entirely sure in the
Might pull
coordinates
an
quite yet.
audible.
Yeah, I'm along for the ride on Saturday. I'm really looking forward to getting out on the boat with Ryan. It was a blast. Good cabin chemistry there down a cave. Nice having you and Ryan as an addition here this year to the trail. So yeah, should be fun to get on the boat with him and then have you guys up to Eagle River here in a couple weeks. It'll be a good
Yeah,
time.
I think it'll just keep getting more fun. It's a great group of guys. Great legs at the tournament this year. Eagle River, your guys' home, and right up here to my home in Bemidji. I think it's gonna be a fun summer.
Absolutely.
Max,
Absolutely.
what's the first? I know you took home some baits back to Minneapolis with you. What's the first bait you're clipping on? And it better be what I'm thinking.
You got two setups. What are you throwing on the rip pause, and what are you throwing on the straight retrieve?
What am I throwing on the 10 foot six Tranqs PG to start the day? Tranqs five hundred
Or the ten foot six Tranqs HG 500.
Absolute two muzzle loaders putting in the back of the car to start Saturday. Man, that is tough, gentlemen. Brian, you're saying that you have something in mind that I should be starting with
Yeah,
here?
you gotta see if you're on a real heater with this bait. You gotta test it out right off the bat.
Should I go back to the swim fin or the
Yeah.
tube or what?
You gotta run that swim fin until it dies.
Do I have a swim fin with me? I think I have one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got
Gold
one.
orange belly.
Right, Yeah, I'll either be throwing that. I mean, realistically, I'm probably just gonna start out with a nice big old Huntsie tail banger.
Yeah.
So
That ought to get
hopefully
it done.
those Minnesota fish haven't seen too many bangers quite yet, but I'm sure they've started to make their way over this way.
A little bit. I mean, they're just erupting in Wisconsin. I mean, they're getting
Yeah, they
Kyle's
are.
getting just like
Yeah.
bombarded with store orders. I mean, there's stores that are ordering like 190 from him and like
Yeah. I've been seeing pictures on Facebook or something just now from you want more friends on Facebook in the musk community, just put your profile picture as you holding a muskie, and it's just like just a crazy amount of friend requests of other people holding muskies, and it's like muskie, yeah, all right, sounds good. So anyways, I've been when I like scroll through it, I'll like see a picture and it'll be like caught on a Hunzi tail, and it'll be somebody like I don't even know who they are or where they're fishing, and it just feels like I see it all the time.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So
I had
yeah, I'm
close. I'll go ahead, sorry.
oh I was just gonna say I'll probably start with one of the bigger Huntsie tails. Got some really cool colors. I mean, I got the Suggs Juice Box one I might start with, depending
Shout
on if
out.
it's cloudy. If it's sunny, I'll probably go something copper or silver type
You got some
blades,
walleye
like
ones,
black
and
skirt, something
you
like
got
that.
that didn't you get that one of the Green Bay specials, like the gold blades, black gold skirt with the white banger on the back?
Yes. Yeah, got
That looks
that
pretty
one.
good.
That one looks good. So probably just start with a banger and then do some rubber in the afternoon, call it a day.
Yeah,
See what
shout out.
happens.
I know the Suggs Juice Box color, a good buddy of mine, shout out Sean. He was out on Fox on opener. I got two pictures sent to me before we even woke up for our opener. That he already caught two on a Suggs Juice Box banger. Well, for sure
Nice.
one of them, and I think he sent the second one as we were loading up.
Nice. Shout out,
So,
Sean.
yeah, I know you can get some at some point. I think Guide's Choice here in town, which I don't know if we've discussed at all yet, but they got new owners. It's Fred and Friend Jr. are going to be there. They're going to
Fred
get
and
a bunch
Fred
of
June?
Fred and Friend Jr. Yeah.
No way. Fred and Fred June. When did that happen?
Like two
Didn't know they
months ago
got
or
new owners.
something.
Oh, hell
Pretty
yeah.
recent, or maybe I don't, it was it, it's been recent.
How old's Fred June?
I'm not sure.
Like 13,
I think
14, or is he like
yeah,
that?
no.
I
I
hope
think
he's
he's
like
more like
13.
no, he's more like our age, a little younger,
Oh,
maybe.
nice. Oh, nice.
Yeah,
Shout out Fred
just a
June.
boy to chill with. That's cool.
Yeah.
Gotta be nice for you, right down the block now. You're finally welcome back.
Yes, closest shop. I haven't been there in over a decade.
Yeah, after Max painted your family name there, that's crazy.
Yeah, that was wild.
Whoops.
Everyone's had an experience there, but no, it's I'm looking forward to going there more, of course. So it's good to have a good local shop with a lot of options. So good to
Right
see
on.
Guide's Choice back.
Absolutely. All right. Any other final questions here for Alex while we got him on the line?
I was just gonna ask him, yeah, if he's got any other thoughts, anything to get off his chest, important info for opener.
Not really. I'm excited for the season. Gonna be a lighter season for me than most. Basically just concentrating on all the different tournaments this year and the PMTT, and then getting a whole lot of housework done. In terms of opener, I expect a pretty quality bite statewide. I think that things will be off and running right away. And I guess good luck to everybody out there. I'll see you out there.
Yeah, just for those that are going out, it looks like we're getting some nice mid-70s, like you said, light variable winds,
Which
potential
direction?
think south, switching from the north the day prior. So
That's good.
yeah, it
Yep,
looks
very
like it's a
good.
little south wind change that morning from a northeast wind the day before, changing sometime that morning. A little temperature pickup. And yeah, I think you really couldn't drop any other better
If
comfortable weather.
it holds as forecasted, it should be as it should be a good bite. Should be great.
Right on.
That's awesome. Yeah, I got one last question here, and Alex, I don't know if you were in on it much when they were out, but are you a fan of the Busch Light Apple, the Bapple, now that it's back?
Oh.
Is that in the lineup, or are you just kind of disregarding it, or what's your
When
thoughts?
in
'Cause I got some
season,
opinions.
yeah, when in season, that is actually not only in the lineup, but that is the number one starting lineup.
Wow.
So I am a big fan of the Bapples. Yeah, I think they just slightly outshine the peaches.
Woof.
I
Definitely.
know,
Definitely.
yeah.
Easy, big fellas. Easy
I'd
there.
probably agree with that.
Looking
But
at the minority right here,
are the
I got. I,
apples what am I trying to say?
oh, oh,
Seasonal
yeah.
right now? Are they here for good or what's the deal?
Are apples seasonal right now in May, in
No,
June?
dude, I'm talking the bush. Are they here for good?
I
They feel like a fall drink. I'm not sure
That's
why
what I'm
they
saying.
came out now. It
Are
should
they
be the
like
peach to
staying all year?
start and then Bapples to taper off the summer into fall, you know? They're here to
Yeah.
stay this year, and I think they probably ended at some point like they did the peach. But
How do you think the apple flavoring gets into the beer, Brian?
that's what I'm worried about. Like, how are they getting them in May? They got to be outsourced in Argentina or something. Those things haven't even sprung yet.
You're a world nations guy.
I'd like to get
Just
some feedback on that if you actually dig in.
yeah, yeah, Brian. I
He's
think you
just
need to
he's
make
not
some calls.
only he's our math guy, he's our imports exports guy,
Geography,
merch god,
imports,
merch,
exports, tariff. I don't
import
know what
tariff,
Brian doesn't do around here.
seasonal
Oh,
fruits and vegetables guy,
man. Foreign affairs.
foreign affairs,
Clyde Bane
chemistry.
hater. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to bed, gents. Long day.
Alrighty. I think we've covered a lot here in this podcast. So thanks again, Alex, for popping on. Kind of last minute. We kind of wanted to get a little insight on the Minnesota opener. A way to do a little rearranging of the Mott schedule here, but we got some fire guests lined up to keep the summer rolling. Well, spring t still, I guess. But yeah, appreciate your time coming on here, and we wish the best of luck to you and your crew out on Mille Lacs to get a big one.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure, guys, and look forward to hanging out on the trail all year. So,
Can't wait
can't
to have you.
wait.
Sweet.
All
Thanks,
right,
buddy,
call
Brad.
it good. All
All
right, all right,
right.
everybody. Thank you for listening to this episode of Muggsy's on Tap. Shout out to Alex McLean for coming on this week. Last minute to come down and lay the facts down for y'all on Minnesota big blonde girls. Make sure to go chase after them this weekend, guys. Get up in their crib, throw them those shiny blades. They'll be sure to chomp down on it. Good luck out there. Stay safe. Peace.